husband and wife. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Merry Christmas. Those statements don't sound very Christmassy, do they? You look around the sanctuary this morning, you see the beautiful decorations and the manger scene here at the front, and the last thing that crosses your mind is the testimony of a trial witness. You sing the carols and look forward to next Sunday's Christmas musical, and never one time think about the oath of enlistment to the Army. You wonder, you witness the lighting of the Advent candle and the wonder of what it has to do with Christmas. And you think, what in the world does this have to do with a pastor and a wedding ceremony? But when you think about it, they all have something in common with one another and something in common with the celebration of this season, with the Christmas season that we're entering together. You see, each of these statements is a declaration, an expression of truth that is guaranteed by the character of the person who says it. Whether you stand before the court and promise that you will tell the truth as you witness in the midst of a legal proceeding, or if you stand as a pastor before a couple who have declared their wedding vows and have exchanged rings, and you get to declare, from this point forward, two have become one. You are husband and wife. Or whether you're a recruit who is taking an oath of allegiance as you become a part of the military service. Each time you are saying, I put my character on the line. I put myself on the line. When I say these words, it's not just me. It's everything I stand for and everything I am. This morning, I want us to talk about the declarations of the Christmas story. Over the next month, we're going to look through the Gospels at the things that happened when Jesus was born and the number of times when declarations were made by individuals, by angels, by God Himself. There are times when the character of those involved step forward and reveal the truth that we need to know. So this year, beginning this morning, I want us to look together at a series of declarations that are part of what the Bible is all about. And this morning, I want to begin with the first of all the declarations. That means we don't begin in Nazareth or the little town of Bethlehem. It's in the Gospel of John where the Bible declares that God Almighty did the unimaginable. We begin in John, even though when you read the Gospel of John and you begin to ask the question, so what does John have to tell us about the story of when Jesus came? One of the things you recognize is in the Gospel of John, most of the people that you look for are not found. You'll find no shepherds in the Gospel of John. You'll find no angel choir in the Gospel of John. You don't even find prophecies that are offered in the Gospel of John. Instead, what you find is a declaration from the Lord Himself. So this morning, I want us to look together at how John prepares the way for our celebration of the Christmas season. You'll find that the Bible first declares this: God came. The gospel of His coming begins with this straightforward declaration of truth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. The Word is the phrase John used to describe the transcendent Christ. Remember what he wrote at the very beginning of his gospel? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What is the Bible saying? The Word was present before creation ever existed. The Word spoke the earth itself into existence. The Word has no beginning and no end. In fact, John says of the Word, all things were made through Him, and without it, nothing was made that was made. What does John want us to know? He wants us to know this: Jesus Christ was and is the everlasting Lord. of creation. The Bible declares something beyond imagination. It says, and that word, that eternal word, that transcendent word, that word that was there before anything else existed. Then he says, and the word became flesh. The Greek word that is translated flesh in that statement is the term sarx, S-A-R-X. Essentially, what that word means is meat. God Almighty became common, ordinary flesh, just like you and me. Sarx describes skin and muscle and blood and bone. Essentially, what it's saying is this. When Jesus became human, he became one of us. When you touch me, if you could touch him, the same. Absolutely, exactly the same. Why is that important? Because if there's any difference between us at all, he couldn't be our Savior. If somehow Jesus came and he looked like us and he acted like us, but he really wasn't us, then he could not become our Redeemer, our Savior. He had to be just like you and me. And John goes even further. He says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us right where we are. To really understand what Christmas is about, you have to realize Jesus came all the way down to live in our world. One songwriter expressed it this way. He said, so wrap our injured flesh around you, breathe our air, walk our sod. And that's exactly what he did. He became one of us so that he could save. To read about the word becoming flesh, becoming sarx, reminds me of a story of a missionary back in the 19th century. His name was Father Damien. Father Damien was sent to Hawaii, to Molokai. Now, back in those days, Hawaii was not a place where people went to vacation. It was a place at the edge of the world. And on the island of Molokai, there was a leper colony. And everybody who was found in those islands of Hawaii, whoever encountered leprosy, was sent to live in this colony. And now here came Father Damien, who was assigned the task of ministering to these suffering, dying people. He arrived on the island. And for a long time, what he would do is he would live in one place and then he would travel every day to Molokai, and there he would minister to the lepers and go home again. But he discovered this. Nobody was really interested in anything he had to say. Nobody wanted to be involved in anything he was trying to do. The lepers ignored him when he came into the village. So he decided that the best thing he could do would be to move into a house and live in the midst of these suffering, dying people. And so he did. And he was there for some time, and he discovered that even then, nobody was really paying much attention to anything he was doing. Nobody was responding to the gospel he was preaching. Until the day came when he got out of bed and he began to scratch his hand and look at his arm. And he discovered that he had contracted the disease that these suffering people had been experiencing all this time. That he had that same anticipation of death that they had. And suddenly, his ministry began to blossom. suddenly people were paying attention and suddenly people were trusting Christ. And you know why? Because Father Damien said, that point came where I no longer was saying to them, you lepers. I was preaching to them and saying, we lepers. And that's what the Word did. God Almighty did not say, I will come to where you are, but I will protect myself. I will live where you live, but I'm not going to forget that I'm God Almighty. I will keep myself separate from you so I can speak the words to you, but I can't really do anything for you. Instead, the Bible says this, and the Word became flesh. And he did not say, you people who grow hungry, you people who grow weary, you people who struggle and wonder what's going to happen in this world. Instead, I say, we people. He became flesh and he dwelt among us. What does that mean? It means that we celebrate Christmas because God came. He came to live right in the midst of us. So we look into the manger and we see a baby, a person. And we also see God who came to be where we are. Bible says God came and we saw him. John continues and says, we beheld his glory. Now in his gospel and in his letters, one of John's constant themes is eyewitness testimony. When you read the gospel of John, one of the things you discover is he says, we saw, we touched, we heard, we witnessed. John wanted people to know he was declaring an eyewitness testimony about Christ. When John said, we beheld him, he meant with my own eyes. We touched him with my own hands. We heard him with my own ears. I am a witness to the fact that Jesus came, that God came to live in the middle of us. He wasn't sharing what somebody else had told him. He was speaking from his own experience. And he boldly challenged anybody who wanted to reject or contradict the gospel to overrule what he had seen for himself. Now, why is that so important? It's important to us today because we need to remember this. All real experience of Christ is firsthand experience. Everybody who truly has an encounter with Jesus, it's an encounter for yourself. So when I ask you the question this morning, do you know Christ Jesus? Is he your Savior? You don't point to the person three down from you on the row and say, well, I know that they know Jesus, or they told me about Jesus, or they said they knew Jesus. Instead, you have to ask the question, what about my firsthand experience? What about me? Do I know Jesus? Do I trust him? Do I walk with him? What about me? John was saying to the whole world, I don't just know about Jesus, I know Jesus. I've been with him. I'm a witness. He's the Son of God. Every year about this time, you find people beginning to talk about the war on Christmas. You know what I'm talking about? Where you've got companies and retail outlets and folks who are willing to say happy holidays or season greetings, but nobody's going to say Merry Christmas. And it seems as though every year that becomes an issue. And I'm all in favor of Christmas being boldly celebrated wherever you turn. But what I'm not in favor of is this. I'm not in favor of people who seek to justify saying Merry Christmas by saying, after all, This is the celebration of the birth of a good and holy man. Who could object to that? I want you to hear me clearly. I don't have any use for a dumbed down Savior. Christmas has nothing to do with the birth of a holy man or a prophet. It is the celebration of the time when God came to be where you are. Nothing less. That's the reason you can know Jesus instead of knowing about Him, because He's been in our midst. And He dwells in our hearts and He lives in our world. John declares, until you know Him personally, you don't know anything at all. God came, we saw, and we received what He had to give. John continues on and he says this, and of His fullness we have received, and grace for grace. When you know He came and dwelt among us, when you have a personal faith in Him, then you can receive everything Christ came to offer to you. Here's what God has done for you through Jesus. He has given you Himself. The same one who dwelt among us wants to dwell within you. You don't have a religion, you have a Savior. And Jesus was born to save. So when you say, of His fullness we receive, what you're saying is, I have received Him personally. Not only has He given you Himself, He's given you everything He promised. All the forgiveness, all the mercy, all the hope, all the future, it all comes from the hands of the Savior who came to dwell among us. And He gave it all from His fullness. His fullness means that's the best He had to offer you. You know, I have no idea what kind of gifts you may receive for Christmas this year. But I know this, there's going to be something you receive. It may be from a family, it may be from a spouse, it may be from a friend, but there's going to be something you receive, and that gift is going to become the gift you remember the most about this Christmas. And here's the thing about it, that gift that means the most won't have anything to do with how valuable it may be. It may not be what an extravagant gift offering it might have been. You know what the gift is going to be? It's going to be a gift. And when you open it, you recognize this is a present that came from somebody that knows me really well. And they know what I'm like. And they know what I love. And they wanted me to have something that let me know how much they cared for me and how they had been paying attention to my life. And that's the gift that's going to be the most important. And you know why? Because that gift is given from their fullness. From the depth of their heart. Of His fullness we have received. He has given us the best He has to give. And it came from the hand of the Lord Himself. Christ offers you His best, His fullness, to let you know you have a place in His kingdom. You belong where He is because you are His. And you are His because He has given you of His fullness. Not only that, the Bible says He gives and He never stops giving. John revealed something truly powerful when he said Christ has given us grace for grace. When he said it that way, it was an indication of repetitive motion. Basically what he was saying was, this is something that's going to happen over and over and over again. If John were writing it the way he wanted us to read it, it would be like this. And He has given us grace for grace for grace for grace for grace for grace for grace. The Bible's saying that the grace that came through Jesus is like the ocean of the seas. The waves just keep washing over you. And they never stop. And they never will. Because he has given us grace for grace for grace. And there's no end to his mercy, no completion to his saving love. It never ends. We saw, we received, and everything changed. In verse 17, John declared that Jesus came to do so much more than give us rules to live by. He says this, the rules came through Moses. For generations, people tried to make it to God by keeping the rules. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. Tell me where I'm supposed to go. Tell me how I'm supposed to act. Tell me the words I'm supposed to say. And people tried and tried and tried and tried, and it never worked. So John says this, the Word became flesh, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Not rules, grace and truth. Jesus did not become one of us just to tell us how to live. He came all the way to where we are to bring grace and truth right where you are today. Grace and truth can't come from rules. They come from a personal relationship with Jesus. And this morning, as we begin our celebration of the Christmas season, one of two things needs to be happening in your life. Either today you are reminded again that grace and truth came through Jesus. And you have received that, and it came from His fullness, and it is the best thing that's ever happened to you in your life. And it has changed you not only today, it has changed you for eternity, because you have a relationship with the One who came to bring God's fullness to this world. Or you're here today and you're recognizing that in your life, grace and truth are just words. Just words. They're rules that you're supposed to follow. But if you're honest, you would have to say, I don't have a personal relationship with Christ Jesus. I've never trusted Him as my Savior. And today, there's nothing more important you could do to begin a celebration of this season or any time than to receive Christ Jesus as your personal Savior. Receive the grace and truth that He came to bring. Let Him touch you with the fullness of His Holy Spirit. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you don't need to leave without trusting Him as your Savior and Lord. And in a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And if you don't know Him, I'll be here at the front. And you come and meet me here, and I would love to introduce you to the Savior. Or maybe you're here today and you're recognizing, you know what, because of what He's done for me, I want to be part of what He's doing through First Baptist Church. I want to be a member of this place. And you need to come and simply say, today, I joined this church. Because this is where I want to walk with Jesus and grow in faith. Or maybe there's another decision the Lord's calling on you to make. Maybe it's a calling on your life. Maybe there's something you just need to release to Him, but you need to come and simply say, pray for me as I make my decision. Is there something God's calling you to do? Let's stand, let's sing. As God, Holy Spirit, speaks to you, you come. Let's stand together. Thank you. Well, it's been a good day in God's house today, but I really want to encourage you, be back this evening at 5 o'clock. If there's one thing our church does well, it is fellowship with one another. If there's a second thing we do well, it is sharing food with each other. And we're bringing both of those things together tonight. We're going to have a great time down in the fellowship hall. 5 o'clock, we're going to enjoy our holiday meal together. I hope you're making your plans. I promise you this, it might be cold outside this evening, but it's going to be a warm fellowship inside. And I hope you're there to be a part of it all. We're going to have a great time together. Glad you were here today. I'm glad we're celebrating this season together. Let's bow together for a final prayer and then one last song. Father, we do thank you that the Word became flesh. And we thank you, Lord, that you came to bring grace and truth. And we thank you that because we've encountered you, we are not who we used to be. Lord, bless us as we celebrate the birth of Jesus throughout this month. And Father, help us to remember that everything about who we are was changed when Jesus came. And we pray in his name. Amen.